treat. It's time for stepping out for something mighty good to eat. You looking for atmosphere? Well, they got it happening here. They're doing barbecue the way it ought to be. Bring your sister, brother, significant other. Bring all your pals. There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
Introducing Smoking Al's new fantasy platters. The whole gang can have fun feasting on each one of these enormous oversized platters, whether at home or in the dining room. Try the new Macho Nacho, the Bow Wow Wow, the Poo Poo Platter, the Caesar Pleaser, barbecue egg rolls, chicken wings, and a whole lot more. Smoking Al's, Massapequa Park. For details, call 516-799-4900. And remember, there's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
But don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire.
Good morning, welcome to Playing with Fire, Long Island's only food, wine, and lifestyle show. I'm your host, Tom Shortell, and I'm here with co-host, producer, dear friend, and semi-engineer, Stu Schrager. Good morning, Stu.
Good morning, Tom. I'm already sweating.
Yeah, I know. It's been quite the morning so far.
So far. Boy, if our listeners only knew how much effort we put into being on the air.
Yeah, I know. So listen, I got a quick little restaurant. So we have a guest we're going to bring in a few minutes, but I got a quick little restaurant story. You know, I've always said that good food will never rescue bad service. And I think bad service can absolutely rescue good food. And I have one of those stories, and I won't tell you where I went, but I went to this place the other night, and I sat at the bar, and the guy came over and he said, you know, can I get you something to drink? And you know, I'm looking through the by the glass list, and they had this Assyrtiko on there, you know, and I love Assyrtiko. It's a Greek white wine. Assyrtiko grape to me is one of the noble grapes in the world. I love it. It's great food wine. It's just a joy to drink, right? So I said, okay, we'll have two glasses of Assyrtiko. Now, the Assyrtiko that came to the table was not what was intended in the bottle. And I called the guy over. It was terrible, right? So I called the guy over, and I said, listen, when did you open this? He goes, well, I think it was sometime last week. I'm like, well, I appreciate your honesty, but you're going to have to open another bottle because this wine is shot, you know? So he did. He was a nice young kid, young Spanish kid, and opens up another bottle. And, of course, that was better, obviously. And so the whole night, that was the beginning of the night. And the whole night kind of descended after that. It was, and the shame of it was we ordered a bunch of small plates and they were all pretty good. I couldn't get the bartender's attention. He was on his phone the whole time, you know. And I was asking for the check and it started to become a joke between Val and I because I said, can I get a check when you get a second, please? You know, and he just never left the phone. And he was maybe 15 feet away. It wasn't like he couldn't hear me. And then Val said, let me try. Can we have a check, please? Nothing. Still on the phone. And he finally acknowledged us at the end when he was done with his conversation. And my whole point of saying this is that the owner of the restaurant, I'm assuming he was the owner because he was dressed very well and, you know, kind of sitting there watching everything, never said a word. He never came over to us. We were the only two at the bar. It was early, you know, it was 6 o'clock or whatever. Never came over and said, hey, you know, thanks for coming. You know, did you enjoy everything? And he's watching this whole thing unfold, and I'm like, how can you not smack the bartender in the head with something really hard? Because, I mean, it's like, wake up, dude. Come on, you know? And so my point was, my point is, I should say, I'm hesitant to go back, and it's a shame because the food was pretty good. I kind of enjoyed everything I had. The other thing was I found out later, and this will entree into our guest today, was owned by a Greek fellow, you know, and I'm saying to myself, well, if he's Greek, he would choose a better Assyrtiko. I mean, there's a lot of good ones out there, you know, and this was one of those things. I think that one of the greatest, I think, mistakes that restaurant owners make is that with their pouring wines, they'll choose something that's so inexpensive. And, you know, look, we all have to make money. I get it, you know, but they'll pour a $4 Pinot Grigio and charge you $15 for it when they should charge, you know, less. And the shame of it is, you know, it's kind of given Pinot Grigio a bad name because most of the ones that people are pouring aren't very good. And I think if you just upgrade a little, you know, you don't have to go crazy. But if you get something that's in that $12 range, you can still charge $15 and be okay. And I think that was the case with the Assyrtiko because I've had Sirico's that didn't cost a lot of money that was stunningly good, and this one wasn't. But anyway, that's my, you know, that's my whole theory about, you know, bad service is tough. You know, it's hard to, you know, be ignored. I remember a time when there was a place I went to one time, and I was sitting at the, you know what the return is on the bar stool when, you know, you have that little end, you know, it comes to the L.
Yeah.
And the short end goes to the wall. Well, I was sitting on the short end, and I walked into this place. It was about, I don't know, 10 to 12. They opened at 11:30, and the bartender was washing glasses or something behind the bar, and she was talking to a guy who was blowing the lines out. He came in to do the beer lines. And I literally sat there, because we timed it. It was kind of funny. And I said, I want to see how long it takes her to acknowledge our presence here, you know? And she was talking to the beer line guy and, you know, having and laughing and carrying on and polishing glasses and the whole thing. We actually sit there for 18 minutes without her even acknowledging we were there. And she finally came over. She says, oh, can I get you something? I said, no, I'm bored. I'm going. I left, right? But I was so annoyed about it, I called the owner. And I said, listen, I'm just doing this because I would hope you would do this for me. And I told him the whole story. And I told him my name. He knew who I was, whatever. And he said, oh, thanks a lot. I appreciate the call, you know. But I think that a lot of times, you know, it's that, how would you call it? I guess the chain is as only strong as its weakest link. And it's the same with restaurants. I don't care, you know, what you do in the kitchen, how good your food is, this, that, and the other thing. If you got somebody out there that's ruining the experience for somebody, it's pointless, you know. And that's the hard part. I was talking to our guest today in the back, and we were saying how hard the restaurant business has become. And it's just there's a million things you have to think about, and you're at the mercy of people who a lot of times don't care. And that's why they say you always have to be there. You got to watch what's going on. I get it. But, you know, you hope that you have a manager or somebody who's, you know, a self-starter at some point who's going to pay attention. And it's only smart because, you know, the bartender is going to make a little more money if he's a little more on it, you know, and tip-wise. But sadly, it's, you know, we were saying in the back room, somebody once asked me, is it really hard to get good help in your business? And I was saying it's hard to get bad help in my business. It's just hard to get help, period, you know. So I got to tell you a quick story, and then we're going to take a little break. We'll talk about Barry Manilow for a second, and then we'll bring in our guests. But I had a waitress who worked for me for a brief period, and she was kind of a single mom. You know, she wasn't very experienced, but, you know, we felt bad for her, so we took her on. So one night I go into the restaurant, and, you know, when you're a chef, you get sick of eating your own food. And so I was like looking for a special or something. So I sat down at the restaurant and she came over. She's waiting on me. And she says, you know, can I get you anything? You look at the menu. I said, well, what's on the specials? She said, well, have you seen the Gnocchis? And I thought she was talking about The Sopranos, you know, because I'm thinking, you know, this is a new show on TV. Everybody's talking about it. I said, no, I haven't seen the Gnocchis. I said, what night are they on? She goes, they're on tonight. I said, what time? She goes, they're on all night. I'm thinking, wait a minute, we're having a problem here, you know? I said, what are you talking about? Back and forth, right? She says, the Gnocchis on the menu. Then it dawns on me, she's talking about gnocchi, right? I'm thinking she's talking about The Sopranos. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if this is going to work out, you know? But it was a funny moment in the restaurant business anyway. Every time I put the Gnocchis on the menu, that's what I tell everybody. We have a Gnocchi special tonight. You know, everybody gets a kick out of it. So listen, talk to me. People are writing in about this Barry Manilow thing,
right?
Yes,
so again, I would like to thank our two sponsors of Playing With Fire. We got Smoke and Al, Al's, which is in Massapequa.
Yeah, great place.
And at the moment, we also have Barry Manilow, who on April 13th is playing his last Long Island concert over at UBS Arena. And our listeners have been writing to us at fire@whli.com, fire@whli.com. And I just want to share four winners so far. We have some more tickets, and we'll be randomly choosing them from the entries.
Mm-hmm.
But we had Mark Lane, who is the proud winner of a pair of tickets, and he identified I Write the Songs. And but he went on to share with us that that song was written by a famous band member who you wouldn't think of writing that song, but I Write the the songs that was sung by Barry Manilow was actually written by Bruce Johnston of the Beach Boys.
Oh, the Beach Boys. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so that's that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we have Alan that wrote into us with telling us both the song, which was I Write the Songs, and the restaurant that he would suggest to dine in on the way to the show is King Umberto.
Oh, yeah.
Which
great.
Is a great, great
That's
restaurant.
That's in New Hyde Park, right?
Great restaurant. And then we have Arlene Dubs, who identified the song Mandy. It's cool because her email is Jazz Lover, but she went on to say that April 25th is their 22nd wedding anniversary,
wow.
And it's a couple that are a pair that is made up of a widow and a widower.
Really?
And it's one of them is 83 and one of them is 92. I can share that because she included it in the email.
Oh, nice.
But she thought this would be a great anniversary prize or evening for them. And I'm so happy and proud to be able to offer them
a
pair of tickets.
Plus, and, it's on a Monday night. You know, there's not a lot going on Mondays. You know what I mean?
And then the last winner that we're announcing today is Bob Teets, who made mention of Villa de Estes as a restaurant to dine on.
Is that a Floral Park, I think?
It's on, I believe it's Hillside Avenue.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's in
Floral Park.
Right, right.
And great, it's either on Hillside Avenue or Jericho Turnpike. I apologize.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But great restaurant. I've dined there a number of times. Old time.
Yeah, it's classic Italian, right? Yeah,
you know, it's not a red sauce joint,
right? Right. Cool.
But they have a nice. It's two rooms. One is like a bar area, and then you have the dining area. And again, you can grab an early dinner there, or you can hang out and have some food and then hang out at the bar or whatever. Just great staff, and again, another great choice right down the road from the UBS Arena.
UBS, yeah. Well,
but again,
congratulations.
Barry Manilow, April 13th over at UBS. If you don't win tickets, there's still some available, and you can purchase tickets if you need to at Ticketmaster.com. And again, it's April 13th, Barry Manilow. And we're surely going to miss his performances, but it's the last Long Island show. Hopefully he'll do a residency somewhere and have be there in the future. But
now, it'd be great.
You know that you can see him in concert April 13th at UBS Arena.
All right, cool. Let's take a little break. We'll pay some bills and we'll come back and we'll bring our guest in.
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl with yellow feathers in her hair and a dress cut down her ass. She would merengue and do the cha-cha. And while she tried to be a star, Tony always tended bar across the crowded floor. They worked from 8 till 4. They were young and they had each other. Who could ask for more at the Copa? Copacabana. The hottest spot north of Havana. Here at the Copa. Copacabana. Music and passion were always the fashion at the Copa. They fell in love. His name was Rico. He wore a diamond. He was escorted to his chair. He saw Lola dancing there, and when she finished, he called her over. But Rico went a bit too far. Tony sailed across the bar, and then the punches flew, and chairs were smashed in two. There was blood and a single gunshot, but just who shot who at the Copa?
Welcome back. You're listening to Playing with Fire on 1100 WHOI AM and 104.7 WHOI FM, Long Island's own food, wine, and lifestyle show, with your host, Tom Shordell, chef, author, and restaurateur.
Yeah, Yeah, so Barry Manilow, we had some congratulations on all the winners. Thank you for rating in.
More coming, and we just played a song. If you identify it, again, why not just add a restaurant that you might dine in if you were going to the show that night? And if you enter to win by writing us at fire@whli.com, fire@whli.com.
Okay, so let's bring our guest in. We have Dino Filippo from Scara Restaurant in East Williston, Hillside Avenue. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's even more important because you're a restaurant owner now. I feel bad for you.
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, it's not easy these days. We were talking about that back in the green room, I guess you call it, where they make the coffee.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's I've been saying for the last, last year or so that I almost don't recognize the restaurant business anymore. It's changed so much, and, you know, but... You know, I remember talking to you. You were looking at a couple of places, and then you finally settled on this one. And what I think is so unique about Scara is the menu and how you put it together. And, you know, when I think of Greek restaurants, I think of fish displays and, you know, and, basically fish displays and zucchini chips is what I basically think of, and feta cheese. But you decided to go a different way.
Yeah, we went a little bit more emphasizing on meats, rather than seafood. I mean, we obviously have seafood, the classics, the octopus, the calamari, the crab cake, the branzino, but we do also have a lot of different meats that you don't see in a lot of the Greek restaurants around.
Yeah, yeah. I was, you know, kind of like when I first got there, I was surprised, you know, in the interest of full disclosure, my other half, Valerie, works there a couple of days a week. So I was going in there and having dinner at the bar. And when I looked at the menu, I saw interesting sausages. And you have these I guess, sticks, you want to call them, or brochettes, for a better word. You know, the different, like you have chicken on one. And pork.
Chicken, pork, shrimp, filet mignon.
Yeah.
We also do them in platters where you get a little bit of... pita bread, a little bit of French fries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A little tomato, onions.
What was also impressive to me is that, you know, I'm always looking for details when I go into a restaurant because restaurants are a thousand, you know, little things that try and come together as one, you know. And a lot of people will just throw bread out, you know, a basket of nondescript rolls or whatever. But your bread is good. I mean, you know, it comes with some olives and some peppers and but it's high quality stuff, man, you know. And that's one of the first indications that I'm in a very cool place is when the bread basket comes and it's not just an afterthought.
You know? So right. you're talking basic. So first of all, Scara Taverna, it's Skara Taverna, and
right.
the website, which is a wonderful website to give you a real feel for the establishment, is scarataverna.com. Just to read something that they lead off on their website, a tribute to the villages of Greece. Dino Filippo, a seasoned veteran in the hospitality world with over 25 years of experience, is bringing his passion for authentic Greek cuisine to Williston Park with the opening of Scara Taverna. The name Scara in Greek translates to grill or barbecue, capturing the essence of traditional Greek village-style cooking, where meals are made simple, honestly, and full of flavor over open flames. Scara Taverna is Dino's tribute to the villages of Greece, where food is a way of life and meals are shared over open flames and good company. I mean, that's incredibly well put.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did Val write that?
Yeah. One of the things that attracted me to the space was that, you know, there was a charcoal grill there, which I had never used in any of my previous restaurants.
Uh-huh.
So I just felt like it was ready for a Greek taverna.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, getting back to that, this is another thing that I love about Scara is that it's not expensive to eat there. And you know, you got high-quality stuff. I mean, you have things that, you know, like sausages on the menu. I think they're like $10, $12 or something,
yeah,
you know what
$12.
I mean? Yeah, it's just, it's... And It's like the way we like to eat, Stu. You know, you can go in there, you have a bunch of little small plates is what I usually do. I always have the village salad because it's the best one I've ever had in my life. And, you know, Dino does this odd thing, you know, in the winter. He uses ripe tomatoes. Imagine that. You know, it's like you go to these steakhouses and they give you these cottony potatoes, tomatoes, you know. But the village salad is fabulous. The dressing's great. Olive oil is huge, you know.
There's a lot of nice dining in Williston Park.
Yeah, it's a very nice neighborhood. For me, it's very convenient because it's close to my house. I can actually walk home.
And that was my next question. Are you in that area?
Yes,
what
I am.
See, that's why his prices are so good, because he doesn't have to commute, you know.
Exactly.
So take us through the process. You know, most people, I don't think they understand what it takes to open a restaurant. So you're looking around and you see the location, then what?
See the location, reached out to the landlord. There was quite a few people trying to get the location. And, you know, I made my bid, and somehow he accepted, and here I am 5 months later.
Right.
So that's a lucky landlord, because I just go back to the Pastrami King story, which is in Merrick, on Merrick Road, and they claim they were forced out because the landlord was raising the rent or whatever. And then more than 2 years later, the building is still empty. And it's intriguing to hear that the property that you were looking at, there was a lot of people bidding on it.
Yes. Well, the previous tenant that was there was, I think, closed around 2000, and right before COVID, 2019. And the rumor was that they were trying to get back into it and reopen. And not sure what happened, but one thing led to another, and they just gave back the keys.
And what happens when you take over a location like that? If there was a previous restaurant there before, is the kitchen still there, or you got to rip it all out and start all over?
Well, with this space, the hood was still there, so that was great, although it did need a lot of repairs. But they took everything with them. They took the condensers for the walk-in boxes. They took the furniture, the banquettes. I mean, they didn't leave a screw in the wall in there. Mm. So I had to make sure the space was safe, the roof was in good condition, the basement needed some new tiles and new walls and new everything. So, it took me a minute there to get the place going. But what I did like, and what it did attract me to the space, it already had that Greek taverna kind of feel to it. And when I saw the charcoal grill, that's when I kind of fell in love with the space, and I said, I want to do this.
And when you say that ambiance that you just described, can you verbalize it? What?
Well, it had the white plaster walls, you know, the ceiling with the very white finish wood on the ceiling. So for me, it kind of, you know, the bathrooms were already there, which, you know, bathrooms can cost a lot of money.
Yeah, it's huge.
You know, as I said, the hoods were there. The precipitator for the charcoal grill was on the roof already, and that's
big. Yeah,
that's six figures right there. I mean,
sure.
So you know, a lot of the things were over. The bones were definitely there.
So is it an open kitchen, or it's because some Greek restaurants are sort of an open kitchen.
Yes, it is an open kitchen.
Yeah.
Yes, it is an open kitchen. People do like to come and take a view of the charcoal grill there. When we got the chickens, we got the pig, the lamb, and they're all, you know, on the spit there, and people come take pictures, and
it's very,
you know,
cool.
They like seeing that on the weekends.
Yeah.
And what's the hours? In today's world, it seems post-COVID, a lot of businesses aren't doing lunch and stuff like that. And again, you're in an interesting area because it's business oriented. You're just, I guess, north. Let's see if I can figure this. Northeast of Mineola and the whole court and attorney world.
Yes.
And they got Winthrop Hospital not far away.
Right. Well, we're going into our fifth month now, and we are open for lunch every day, 11:30 a.m. We do deliveries as well. We're on all these apps, Uber Eats, the Grubhub, the DoorDash. We do brunch on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday. And right now we're getting a lot of interest in these semi-private parties. We have one this Sunday for 40 people. We're not a huge space, so, you know, I can only seat about 75 people. So when I have a party for 40 people, I'll give them half the restaurant and the other half I'll designate for a regular.
Sure.
So the brunch, is it a Sunday brunch?
It's Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday.
$27 prefix, which includes an entree, a brunch cocktail, mimosa, Bloody Mary, or Bellini, and a dessert. So it's
what type of entrees are would one choose from? Is it more Greek or is it more international?
It's a little both. I mean, buffet. We have a tzureki French toast. We do have a delicious burger. We have a Greek omelet. You know, we have a salmon eggs Benedict.
Sure.
So we have a little bit of everything, you know, and we also do have the regular menu as well. So if somebody doesn't want to do the brunch prefix, they can order from the regular menu.
So I'm intrigued when you say you do a nice burger. Is it somehow transformed into a Greek flavor? I mean, is it served with feta or something, or it's just a...
You can get it with feta if you like, yes.
It's not lamb, right?
Secret blend.
Secret blend, there you go. No, like I started to say before, I think what's so great, one of the things that's so great about Skara is that the taverna angle is placed, you know, money-wise between like a Kima or a Lamani and your basic, you know, pita, you know, souvlaki place. You know, it's almost like... you know, the pubs, you know, it's kind of priced
really,
that way.
When my ears lit up when you were talking about the so-called breadbasket, because a lot of places, and it's not a bad thing, but they'll just serve the pita and maybe some olive oil or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I got it right, it's there's rolls and other bread products.
It is a great bread. It's
We give a baguette.
Yeah.
We give some pita bread.
Pita bread and
olive oil. A little fresh oregano, some olives, some great. Our olive oil is probably one of the best here in New York that you can get. It's like liquid gold, we call it.
Well, the Greek olive oil is underrated. Very underrated.
We throw a little balsamic so people like to dip the bread, you know.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's why I always get the village salad, because after I'm done with the roll, it's like, check, please. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just so good, you know. I get Valerie sneaking me another half every once in a while. You know? I tip her well. Yeah, it's an interesting menu. And so the menu development, when you go in, you know, like I'm a chef, so I always do my menus. But you're not. You're the owner and the front guy.
Right.
How much... you know, influence did the chef have when you opened, and how much did you say, this is what I want, do it this way? And
yeah, I mean, I had a consulting chef there the first few months, and, you know, I wanted to have a place that was reasonably priced. I didn't want to be, you know, where you got to come in and spend $52 on lamb chops.
Right, of course.
You know, I didn't want to be that place. So, my lamb chops are domestic, and right now they're $39. I mean, I'm not making a lot on it, but you know, we try to hopefully people can appreciate that. And I try to make also a comfortable place. I didn't want to be, you know, you don't have to come there with a suit and tie, or you don't have to come. You can come right after work, or you know.
So you guys might laugh me out of the studio, but when you talk about the lamb chops, are they like lollipop lamb chops, or are they a larger, like almost like a steak type
lamb chops? Domestic lamb chops. You get three to the order. Really good size lamb chop. They're bigger than lollipop. Lollipop are really good.
Yeah, the New Zealand ones are small. You know, they're domestic. I use the Australian because they're very big, you know.
Right.
But the American are probably right in the middle between.
And what does something like that get plated with? Because, I mean, I'll go to a restaurant, and sometimes they even have lamb chops. Again, those would be the lollipop size, but as an appetizer. But and when you get it as a dinner, how do you plate that?
You could choose a side of either lemon potatoes or saffron rice. Yeah, we like to give people an option, or French fries, you know.
Lemon potatoes are the Greeks' gift to the world.
Yeah.
There's nothing better. I mean, I don't know who figured that out, but it's like, oh, my God. I love those things. I only started making them about 2 years ago. You know, we decided, I got this contract at a club over there, and they decided to do a Greek night, right? What do I know about Greek food? But I can figure it out. I mean, you know, I'm a chef. I have some technique, you know. And when I first made the lemon potatoes, I'm like, wow. You know, I always wondered how they did it. And then I researched it, figured it out. Okay, you know, it's pretty cool, man. It's an interesting process. It's an interesting process.
Yes, it is.
So I got to ask you, we just had St. Patrick's Day celebration, and it's almost embarrassing to see how everybody becomes Irish as far as restaurants during St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you did anything special for St. Patrick's Day, and I'm sort of hoping you say no.
No, we didn't. We didn't. We're actually waiting for Greek Independence Day, which is next week. We'll do something special for that.
So you got great food, you got great ambiance, you got a great location. Is there any music that you have live entertainment or anything, or are you playing Greek music?
On a special occasion, like Greek Independence Day, we're going to have live entertainment on Friday, March 27th. It's also my birthday, so we'll have some live entertainment that night.
Tom hears birthday, and he starts sweating because his daughter was real nice to him. He did a wine pairing on the day of his birthday at his former location, Kingfish, over in Westbury, Garden City area, and it was his birthday. He's supposed to be relaxing, but yet he was chef, host, and musical act.
Yeah, that was my daughter decided to throw me a birthday party with me cooking for 80 people, seven courses, and then I had to play a two-set gig after it was over. I'm saying, is there anything else? Can I wallpaper your kitchen or
and
something?
And the PA's resistance was, he's all done playing. We had a story for another time, dirty dancing going on the dance floor. And Tom takes a deep breath and goes over to the bar, and he goes, I'll take a bottle of the blah, blah, blah.
It was my own Merlot.
And the bartender says, we have no open bottles right now.
Yeah, it's my own. I make my own wine out east, right? So I said, give me a bottle of the T.S. Merlot. She goes, no, we don't have any. Like, give me a glass of the T.S. Merlot. Oh, we don't have any bottles open. So open one. It's like, you know what I mean? I'm important here. It's hilarious.
Well, needless to say, it was birthday. He was a lot of elation, but at the same time, a lot of exhaustion.
Yeah, anyway. Happy birthday, by the way, if I don't see you before then.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's, the whole celebratory thing in restaurants, to me, like, I don't allow my staff to sing happy birthday because I've never heard a good one in my life. You know, you got three guys off key, one guy forgets the words, one guy has an accent, you can't understand him, you know. It's hilarious. Just put the candle or the sparkler in it, walk away, let them handle it, you know. So I had this one Spanish busboy, Arturo, I think his name was. I must have fired him six times. He was hilarious. I mean, he would make me so mad. I said, that's it. You're over. And 2 weeks later, he'd come back. Can I have my job? Yeah, come on. You know, he's very funny. So I told him one day, I said, listen, I don't want you singing happy birthday out there. I don't care what anybody's doing. Just put the thing on the table and walk away. I mean, 2 hours later, he's out there with the Salvadorian Tabernacle Choir. You know, they got like eight of my waiters out. Happy birthday, too. You know, I'm like, I can't believe I told this idiot, you know. Anyway.
The website, there's an incredible quote, and I'll get in trouble because I won't be able to pronounce the word properly, but it's
Philotimo.
Philotimo, yeah. Which refers to a deep sense of duty, honor, integrity, generosity, and responsibility towards others. It is the inner drive to do good without expecting anything in return, out of respect and love of others. And I Kerry and I sort of live our lives with this thing about having no expectations from others. We do what we do because that's who we are, and hopefully it's with a lot of outpouring of love and respect. So that saying really resonates to me.
Right. Yep.
See, I do what I do and expect them to pay for it. There's a check at the end.
Well, Tom, you tell the story that, when you go to the shoe store, you don't ask to borrow the shoes for a couple of days to give them a test drive or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
But when you go to the butcher or many times a restaurant, they'll say, could I taste this, please? You know,
well, yeah, we get it all the time. Yeah, you know, it's the honest business because – when you think about it, what other business expects you to buy the third one. You know, I bought 7 cars from a guy, and he never said, you know, this one's on me, T. You know what I mean? It just doesn't happen. And there's no happy hour at a jewelry store. You know what I mean? Nobody discounts this stuff in the hardware. You know, screw nuts and bolts, half price from 4 to 7. You know? We're the only ones that are expected to give things away. I don't get it. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, I guess that's the business, you know. And, you know, you don't mind. You know, you don't mind. I have a rule with my bartenders. And, you know, you always have to watch the bartenders because sometimes they'll put people on scholarship, you know. So I said, listen, if it benefits the house and you can explain to me why, I'm good with it, right? You want to buy, you know, regular customer. He's in here all the time. His fourth drink, fifth drink, I don't, fourth and fifth for all I care, you know. If you can tell me, yeah, well, he's here all the time. That's why I did it. Fine. If you can't, if you get some stranger in there and you're giving him 3 or 4 drinks, you know, and I know why you're doing it, you know.
Right.
And I will catch you at some point. I had a guy, I was down in Washington, D.C., and I used to do a dinner in a Senate building every year for a bunch of politicians. And I did it for about 14 years. So I would go down there, do the dinner, and then I would go out to a local restaurant to see what was going on, right? So I go to this place, and I get talking to the guy next to me, and the bartender gets involved in a conversation. He knows that I'm a chef from New York. I'm here to do this dinner. So I ordered, I think, 4 glasses. I wasn't driving. The hotel was right next door. I ordered 4 or 5 glasses of very high-end champagne. I think it was like $30 a glass, maybe 35, something like that. So now I'm into it for $170, $180, whatever. And I ordered 2 appetizers, which were probably $20, $25 a piece. So my check is supposed to be around $225. So I said, listen, I got to go. Can I get the check? He gives me the check. It's like $30. I'm looking at the thing. I said, I think you got the wrong check. I think you made a mistake. He goes, no, professional courtesy. I'm like, wow, man, this is, you know. So I tipped him on the $30 instead of what, you know. Anyway, so I leave the place, and the next day, you know, my conscience is, you know, what it is. I call the owner. I said, listen, just keep an eye on your bartenders. I'm telling you, you know, I told him what happened. And I said, this is, you know, it's so bad because I know this guy is, you know, expecting I'm going to hit him with a $50 bill or a $100 bill for a tip. And I didn't do it specifically. I think it was a $30 check, and I gave him $6 or whatever it was, you know, for a tip. So
I have to share. You talk about tip. So when I was down in Florida recently, we ate at, I think it was called the Islander Grill and Tiki Bar. And first of all, talk about generosity. So we were there with some people that are regulars, so we were sort of tag-alongs or whatever. But first I got a drink at the bar, and I ordered the drinks, and the guy wraps the receipt up in my
credit card. Yeah.
And I give him a tip, only to find out that there was already a tip included.
Ah, see that?
Which was a little deceiving, I got to admit. But then we sit down at the table, and our friends knew the owner, and he brings a big platter of meatballs and these special rolls that they bake there. And before I know it, I'm full. But and then unfortunately, like whatever night we were there, I think it was a Monday or Tuesday night. They're special because they have specials, and then they have specials of the night, and then the specials for the week that they always have.
Pay attention, Dino. This is a good idea. But, hold on, specials.
But they were known for whatever night it was for their ribs.
Uh huh.
We've been out of that for hours.
That's not so special then.
But and at the same time, then I was already full from the meatballs and these wonderful freshly baked rolls. But you talk about doing something nice, it comes to back to bite the guy in the butt.
Amen. So talk to me a little bit about your wine program, because, you know, I'm a wine guy, so I'm always interested. I mean, I had last time I was there, I drank most of your was it the Malaguzzi or the
Malaguzzi, Il Basilio.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that's a great wine.
You know,
that's probably my favorite.
Mine too. I mean, I first tasted Gervasilio. Is it called Gervasilio?
Gervasilio.
I was in Vegas and I was looking at a wine list. I was in Milos, and I looked at the wine list, and they had a Viognier, which is one of my favorite grapes from the Rhone, from, I can't pronounce it again, Gervasilio.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the guy, "Is it?" Because they can tend to be a little flabby and overripe sometimes. I don't like those. I like the ones that are acidic. And he goes, no, it's really good. And I tasted it. It was, you know. And I came back here. I actually ordered it from my restaurant. And then when I saw it one time at another Greek restaurant, and I said, oh, I got to order that. And I ordered the Malaguzzi, and I fell in love with it. And I know you have that But you, there's a Moscafilero that also that you're pouring, right?
Moscafilero.
Moscafilero. Yeah. That's another one that I tend to abuse when I'm over at your place.
Yeah, it's a nice white wine.
Yeah, yeah. Now, is most of your wines Greek?
I would say 90% are Greek.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have an extensive wine list. We have about maybe 30 wines.
Yeah, but they're well chosen.
Yeah.
They're well chosen.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is, too, I hate when I go, a little bit of self-promotion. When I opened Allure on the North Fork, I decided I was going to go all Long Island on the wine list. Which is a risky move, you know, because we're the only self-hating wine region in the world. You know, we did, oh, Long Island wine sucks, you know, kind of thing. So I made an entire wine list of all Long Island wines, and I wound up getting a Wine Spectator Award for it, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Now, we finally kind of went a little bit, you know, American and some, you know, French wines because demand was so high. But even in Amano, when I opened up Amano's Italian restaurant, I went half Long Island, half Italian. And I think that when you open a restaurant like yours, which is, you know, a Greek restaurant, I think it's important to stay true to the cause. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I go to some of these, you know, I've been to another Greek restaurant and they got two Greek wines and then, they got like Camus and, you know, all their usual suspects.
Right.
And I'm like, what are you doing that for, man?
Yeah.
I'm coming here for the experience, you know? And the great part about Greek wines is the expiration because nobody really knows them. I mean, they're only really becoming popular in the last, 10 years or so, I guess, you know?
Right.
So for me, to explore all those flavors is fabulous, you know? And I haven't gotten into the reds so much because I'm more of a white guy most of the time.
Next time you come, you should try the Yerro Vasiliu Avaton. It's the red version.
I've had that.
Yeah. It's a nice, bold
it's
red
fabulous.
Wine. Yeah, it's an amazing wine.
The other one that I drank, I first tried it in Vegas. I went to a restaurant with some friends, and I looked at, Mavrodaphne. It was a Mavrodaphne.
Right.
And it was by this company called Taos, T-A-O-S. And it was on the list. It was like $130. And I said to the guy, you know, I'm kind of interested in Greek wines because I got her with me, you know. And so he says, yeah. He says, that's a sleeper, man. Check it out. And it was phenomenal. So I wound up ordering it for the club, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one if you ever, you know, come across it. What's the guy's name that you're buying the wine from? I can't think of his name. I have
several different wine vendors.
There's one Greek guy that I bought some wine from, and I haven't seen him since. I got to get him to come back. And I think he sells wine to you, too. I'll hook up with you on that at some point, you know, and get his name. But, yeah, I think it's the second most important part of the restaurant. I think wine and food are just such a match. I mean, yeah, people, you know, drink beer with burgers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think when you're having dinner, wine is the way to go, you know?
Absolutely.
You know?
But I also do want to mention that for lunch, we do have a Greek gyro available. It's actually our lunch special. It's $12. It's basically a wrap. Gyro, we call it gyro in Greek, and you can put chicken souvlaki, pork souvlaki, the filet mignon skewer, or even shrimp. It comes with tomato, lettuce, tzatziki sauce, and we give a little bit of French fries on the side, and it's only
$12. Is it a traditional wrap? Or is it a pita based?
Pita wrap. Yes, it's a pita wrap. So that's been working out pretty well for lunch. People love it, and it's, you know, only $12. So
and you gotta love that. Own tzatziki? Is that how I?
Yeah, we make our own tzatziki. Yeah, oh, you have to.
Oh yeah, you'd lose your membership in the Greek society if you start making bottled tzatziki. You know, forget.
My mom would never talk.
No, it'd be all over.
And what is the basic recipe for tzatziki?
It's cucumbers, yogurt, you know, the garlic. I'm trying to think of what else is
dill.
In there. Dill, yeah.
And is hummus any importance on your menu?
We have it. It's one of our spreads. We have six spreads, and hummus is definitely one of our spreads, yes.
Yeah, what are they? You should explain the spreads, because I don't think a lot of people know what taramasalata is or whatever.
Taramasalata is a crop roll. It's our Greek version of caviar.
Yeah.
We have melinosalata, which is the eggplant salad. Tzatziki, and we also have the spicy feta, tirokapteri, it's almost like a reddish color, and it's got a little kick to it. If you like spicy, definitely try that.
Yeah.
So you could get them either separate.
Do you have the one, the potato one? Was it scordaglia?
Oh, we have scordaglia as well. Yes.
Right. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Scordaglia, which is the garlic.
So I know you mentioned you do the skewers. What other like shrimp dish or whatever might be on the menu?
We do have as far as whole fish, we have branzino. We'll probably get one more right now for the the spring and the summer coming up, where people like to eat, I think, a little bit more of a lighter meal, seafood, your white wines.
Sure, very popular.
So as far as shrimp, we might, I just tried a couple of days ago, the chef made me a shrimp saganaki, which was out of this world. So I'm trying to convince them to put that on the menu.
And what might have that been?
It's just basically the saganaki, which is the fried Greek cheese, but now you're putting shrimp to it. And it's, oh my God, it's definitely a nice combination.
I ate at a Mediterranean restaurant on the South Shore, and to me it was surprising. It was a shrimp in a tomato sauce with a feta and whatever.
Yeah.
But that I wasn't familiar with something like that in the menu.
Either shrimp saganaki, or some people have the shrimp with the gigantes, which is the large Greek beans.
Yes.
That's also very nice as well. So, between one of those dishes, we might add that to our spring-summer menu, because we're going to be doing a couple of different changes.
Is there any outdoor dining? Because I know some of the restaurants on Hillside Avenue.
We don't have outdoor seating, but we do our front doors open. So we can, on a nice day, we can open up our front doors, and it gets very airy. Kind of feels like you're outside, but, you're not. So it's a nice touch, though, having the doors open all the way and people feel like you're outside.
And you do daily specials or?
Yeah. We'll have at least one appetizer, one entree special,
Is it dangerous when you get in? I asked the two restaurateurs that, you do a daily special. Somebody becomes their favorite thing and they come on a Tuesday and that's Thursday special.
It's a funny thing about changing menus. I remember people, you come in Cool Fish, going, you never change the menu, which I do, I change the menu four times a year, and I change the specials on a daily or weekly basis, right? You never change the menu. Okay, I changed the menu. I took the sea bass off. Where's the sea bass? change it, but don't change the stuff I like. It's pretty funny.
So right now you said that you live near the restaurant on the North Shore of Nassau County. If you discussed this earlier, I apologize, but where are you from, your ethnic
Originally,
origin?
I'm born and raised in Astoria, Queens. Never thought I would leave there, but when I got married in 2004, my wife gave me an ultimatum and said, if you want to marry me,
well, Astoria is a mecca for food. It's a real food community from what
definitely. Astoria's got some great restaurants.
What type of your parents, were they in the restaurant world or good cooks or just?
No, not really. I mean, we went out to eat often, but not really in the restaurant world, no. I started probably in my early 20s promoting and then getting into the nightclub business. And from the nightclub, we turned it into a restaurant lounge catering facility, a place called Cavo in Astoria that was my place for 18 years with a few partners there. And that's what kind of put me on the map and was able to buy a house in Long Island,
get
married, three kids, and open up this restaurant.
So now, again, you opened up your own restaurant. You were working for somebody a year ago, let's say. What was your history before that? Again, you mentioned you were doing some promoting and had some partners.
Yeah, I had a place that I opened in 1999 and ran to 2017. It was called Cavo in Astoria, Queens. And in between those years, I opened a few Mexican restaurants, one that is still open in Astoria on the corner of Broadway and 32nd Street. It's called Las Catrinas.
And how did you find yourself in a comfort level with Mexican, to be all about the Greek?
Low food cost.
Yeah, I know. No, rice and beans.
It's funny you mention that because this other restaurant on the South Shore that I am familiar with, they were expanding their dining inventory, And he went into a Mexican restaurant that he opened in East Meadow or whatever. So it's intriguing that you mentioned that.
Yes.
Well, there's a real lure for Mexican food because, you know, it is inexpensive to, you know, especially the basic Mexican restaurants. You know, the food costs are very low. Right. Obviously, when you get into better ones, it's, you know, the higher end ones, it creeps up a little bit. But still, it's, I mean, you're selling beans and rice and chicken and, you know.
So it's interesting. I think last week Tom made mention that the typical, or it used to be the typical Greek restaurant was like, a small restaurant. They did gyros and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And in today's world, it's morphed into fine dining, especially on Long Island and the North Shore. But it's funny. It just comes to mind when you talk about gyros and stuff. Again, I keep talking about Florida, but I went to somewhere.
It's Eros.
Eros.
Yeah, we have a Greek day.
Jewish soul food, and I go into Strathmore Bagel Cafe, and they're busy cutting the lox with a gyro knife. So usually a gyro knife is, I guess, vertical.
Right.
They're trimming off the pit, but they have the salmon laying flat, you know, horizontal.
Yeah, it's a slicing knife.
Counter, and they're using the gyro to slice it. And I got
Iro,
to tell you,
Iro.
It works well. It really does because, you know, when somebody's lazy and they're cutting lox, it can be chunky.
Yeah, you don't want. You know,
it almost is like the scene in the movie Goodfellas when the Paulie's or somebody's in prison and he's busy slicing the garlic, and it has to be translucent.
With a razor blade or whatever.
Yeah. It's the same thing with lox. You know, you get a nice slice of thin lox, it's ecstasy.
Well, the unique part about, and, you know, I said it before, say it again, the unique part to me about Scott is the positioning in the realm of Greek restaurants. You know, it's the only one that I know of at the moment that's straddling that line between high-end and affordable. You know?
Well, it's interesting, again, not to name the others, but, yeah, you can go in, and for a couple, it can be $200. And from what I'm getting from the discussion that you guys are having, it's, again, you can make it work. It's not a destination event calendar day type restaurant. I mean, it can be your nice neighborhood.
It's again, the comfortable pair of jeans that you put on every, you know, kind of thing. And you know, and the thing to me that's so much fun about it is, you know, I've eaten there with Val, and, you know, we'll basically bounce around. We'll get one sausage, I get a village salad, we'll split the thing. I mean, you know, like we all say we like to eat. I would rather do that than be stuck with a piece of fish or vegetable.
And I believe,
starch,
again, your register tells the story, but, you know, in the day, down the road from you, a little bit north, was River Bay, which was a Paul Brothers restaurant, which was, you know, very much, as Tom described before, you walked in and there was, you know, trays of ice with the fish laid out and whatever.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that went the way of a TD Bank offering them a lot of money for
property.
I mean,
you
know,
loved
that.
They
place.
Couldn't say no.
River Bay was great.
It was a great place.
They're good operators, the Paul Brothers.
And that
just
brings the thought, again, what a mecca for dining because, again, on your strip going east-west, a lot of nice restaurants. And then you go north, you got anything from, I think it's La Palma and Mateo's and again, in the day, River Bay. So being that I'm from that area, there was some, again, great dining.
Yes. Well, Long Island has that. I mean, you know, I don't know what the numbers are, but you probably have close to as many restaurants on Long Island as you have in Manhattan. They just happen to be, you know, in a smaller place. You know, when you think about it, the only drawback is that you don't have the population you have in Manhattan.
Right.
So, you know, it you get down to this mathematical equation between asses and chairs. I always marveled at the fact that no matter what restaurant I had and how busy I was, I could never do 250 dinners on a Monday. You just,
right.
They're not there, you know. Yeah. People aren't coming out, you know. Where in Manhattan, you can do that. I mean, I was in Manhattan a couple of times last week and a half, and I'm in places at 7 o'clock at night on a Tuesday, and I got to wait an hour for a table.
Right,
it's crazy,
right.
You know, because you got 8 million people or whatever it is.
So the parking in that area is very convenient because you have street side parking. Is there a rear parking lot or anything?
There's no real parking lot, but there's a municipal lot around the corner by the funeral home, across the street from the funeral home. There's a municipal parking lot. You can park there. But
Hillside Avenue has plenty of
street parking.
Yeah, I never have a problem. You know, I'm there fairly frequently and never have a problem parking, you know. No, it's a good spot. It's a you know, interesting area over there. Like I said, it's not really high end. It's not really low. It's kind of got that middle, and I think you hit it right on.
Again, good family friends, as the Zalesi family. Nancy one of the mayors of Williston Park for a while, and
that's Roger Vice's cousin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then Joey. Joe Zalesi had a auto body and repair shop. I guess on one of the main thoroughfares going north south. Good people.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about parties. You have private party and catering. You want to obviously get that going, you know, because there's... Yeah.
Like I said, we're opened, going into our fifth month now, and we're getting some interest in private parties, 21st birthday.
So it's a private room or it's part of the dining room?
I mean, I would close down for lunch. I wouldn't do it on a Saturday night or Friday night, but on a Thursday afternoon or Saturday, Sunday afternoon, if it's worth it, you know, we'll definitely... close down brunch for a private event.
Sure.
But most of our events that we've done about six or seven right now. They've been, you know, 45 people or under, you know, your 25 people, 30 people. And we were able to put them on one side of the restaurant and still have the other side of the restaurant going for regular customers.
No, it's good. You know, I always tell my staff, you know, not every party's a home run. You got to hit some singles and doubles too, you know, every once in a
absolutely.
While, you know. So you take a 35 or a 40 person party, you know,
all day.
Grab
so
it
probably doesn't happen often that you can kick back at your own restaurant and let's say I'm a little hungry tonight. I'm going to sit down and have something to eat. What would you do at your own restaurant? What would you go for?
I like to pick on a couple of different things. We have a nice pancetta appetizer, which I love. You know, a Greek, a Lucanico, Greek sausage, or the Cyprian sausages, Chef Talia. I'll pick on that. Comes with some lima beans, olive oil, fresh oregano. Then I'll either have a saffron rice, lemon potatoes, or French fry with that, you know. Or sometimes I'm just in the mood for a grilled salmon.
Yeah, yeah.
So it depends what I'm in the mood for, you know. But I like to pick. Yeah,
and what on the you mentioned salmon, you mentioned branzino. What other fishes might be found at your restaurant?
We have a delicious grilled, nice and charred octopus. We have a fried calamari. We have a crab cake. We do have shrimp on a skewer. You can put your shrimp on top of a Greek salad if you want, or the Athenian marouli salad. A lot of people do that. We do have a lobster pasta as well, and believe it or not, a lobster roll.
Wow!
And the lobster roll is very popular with the younger kids, the families that come in.
Yeah, yeah,
they love the lobster roll.
Really?
Yeah.
And then let's go the other direction. You mentioned lamb chops. What other meat dishes?
So we have you can get a 1 pound plate of lamb. On the weekends, we also do serve pig. And we also have the pork conto suvli, which is chunks of pork that we serve. And you could choose a side, lemon potatoes, rice, or fries. And we have a delicious Greek-style pork chop that is out of this world. It's a tomahawk pork chop served with a little tzatziki sauce. Comes with a side.
Val was trying to get me to have that the other
night.
Yeah,
it's really special.
What about soup? Any soups that are...
We have, every day we have avgolemono, the Greek traditional soup. And then coming up is Greek Easter. We're going to have the magiritsa soup, which is the traditional Greek Easter soup, which is very popular. I look forward to it every year.
Greek Easter is like a week after Easter.
It's,
this year, right?
Yeah, April falls on April 12th.
12th, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of nice Greek specials that day.
So now I've had a delicious meal, incredible appetizer, the main dish. If I save a little bit of room for dessert, what's that for the offering?
I mean, you can never go wrong with a little Greek yogurt, you know, nice Greek mountain honey, walnuts.
Do you do the black cherries in it?
I do the cherry too, yes. We have, we make almost every day a galatoporico, a tray of that, which is the semolina custard and the phyllo. And the syrup.
What is it, baklava? The crispy...
Baklava. We have the baklava as well. We have the special sometimes.
I like to take the Greek yogurt with the honey and the walnuts and cherries, like you said, and then a little baklava. Sometimes I've seen like a deconstructed baklava and like crumble it up on top. Yep.
Nice.
Our baklava, we put a little pistachio too, so it's a pistachio baklava. And then sometimes we special a walnut cake, the garidopita. Or for the chocolate lovers, we have a nice chocolate mousse as well.
There's nothing, again, that Greek yogurt. I mean, there's a place in the city, if I'm going for a theater and we're eating and we're running out of time, I'll take the dessert to go. And, like, the people are very envious sitting on either side of me as I enjoy my...
eating dessert in the theater. You're killing me. All right, listen. Speaking about time to go, we got to go. It's been a pleasure, man. And so... give us the lowdown real quick. The address, the website, the phone number.
Scara Taverna, located at 75 Hillside Avenue in Williston Park, New York.
Which is just west of the train station, right?
Yes.
Right. Right next door to Sangria 71. Our website is www.scarataverna.com. You could find us on Instagram, Facebook. We're open 7 days, lunch, dinner, brunch on the weekends. Gentlemen,
I love the place.
I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, you did a great job there. You did a great job. And thanks for coming in. We appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Next time, come with food.
Okay. We don't do breakfast. Sorry.
We're going to close the show with Tom's Three Keys to Life. Life is too short to listen to Stu. Treat every meal like it was your last and keep chocolate in your life is as important as sex and pizza. And I'll see you at Scara. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Everybody, get ready for a treat. It's time for stepping out for something mighty good to eat. You looking for atmosphere? Well, they got it happening here. They're doing barbecue the way it ought to be. Bring your sister, brother, significant other. Bring all your pals. There's always something smoking at Smoking Al.
Introducing Smoking Al's new fantasy platters. The whole gang can have fun feasting on each one of these enormous oversized platters, whether at home or in the dining room. Try the new Macho Nacho, the Bow Wow Wow, the Poo Poo Platter, the Caesar Pleaser, barbecue egg rolls, chicken wings, and a whole lot more. Smoking Al's Massapequa Park. For details, call 516-799-4900. And remember, there's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.